You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, hey, this is Marquis Laughlin. Welcome to Bible Prophecy Daily, the podcast that tries to keep you informed about all things eschatology, because eschatology matters. Understanding God's timing, all of the things that He's predicted to do moving forward with the church and the world is extremely important as we draw close to that time. We are like players who have been put on the field with maybe a minute left on the clock, and the plays that we make, our ability to listen to the coach and play together well, and understand the schemes of the defense, as it were, and the offensive plays that our coach is calling critical right now. You want to have ears to hear. You want to be watching your game film and looking at your X's and O's. You want to be studying so that when you're put in with this 1 minute left on the clock, you are really ready to execute well and score. We have a tremendous opportunity to finish well and to finish in spectacular fashion as Jesus is about to return. So we want to finish this job well for all those who have gone before us. And in order to do that, we got to understand as much of what's going on and what God is planning as possible. Because the key word for today is deception. That's your key word for this era. Anyway, we've been going through the director's commentary on Revelation. One of my frustrations when I started getting into the end times was I was reading everybody that I could, and I had great teachers, but they were disagreeing with each other, and on pretty substantial matters. And so I thought, you know what, I really have to know Revelation better so that I can filter my teacher's teaching through the scripture. I just have to know it better, because clearly, people are wrong, good, godly people. And it's because we're looking ahead and we are not looking back. They could agree on what happened, but when you start to get into trying to share how you think things are going to unfold, well, prophecy has some moves. God's pretty, his ways of doing things, they're not our ways. And we understand what he's said he's going to do in the future much better the closer we get. So things get clear, and that's a biblical premise. That's why people were anticipating the Messiah coming. In Jesus's day, they hadn't heard from God in 400 years, and then all of a sudden things start happening and they start becoming much clearer, much faster. So things that they had, verses they didn't know were Bible prophecies about the Messiah, started to pop out, and them go, oh wow, do you see, we were just in this particular psalm, we just did that, you know. So it's just amazing to me. I am fully prepared to be surprised as things unfold at the amount of things that I missed or didn't even consider to be prophecies. So I'm just always trying to devour the scriptures to learn more. So in this book, our purpose really with this commentary is to try to answer some big, basic fifth grade level questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how kind of stuff. So, and to give you a framework, really kind of pound into you the framework for Revelation. It is about the revealing of who Jesus is to the world. This is when God rolls back the sky and says, hey, how you guys doing down there? And everybody is on the same page. Jesus is coming back to rule and reign this world. And when he comes back, every eye will see him. So make no mistake about it. And so the entire book of Revelation has been given to Jesus by the Father to give to us, his servants, blood-bought servants, so that we'll know the things that will soon take place. And when it says the things that will soon take place, it's saying you're going to know these things that are going to take place fast when they start taking place. And it is a reference to the end times that Daniel talks about in Daniel 12. Seal up the words of this book until the time of the end. This is the time of the end when it's going to be opened up and people are going to understand its context and it's going to make sense. So we're getting specific information that is ultimately fulfilled, is most important for the time just prior to Jesus appearing. And when he appears, what he's going to do. So we're getting some footage from the end of the movie so that we'll really have a better understanding of how to negotiate these harsh waters that are predicted to come upon the church. Remember, this is a time coming up. The 70th week of Daniel is a time that Jesus talked about as being the worst ever. And there never will be a worse time again. And when he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The deception is going to be so strong, it will almost deceive even the elect. We have several descriptions of how bad it will be. If we thought the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Lot were bad, this is going to be even worse than those, but it's going to be like that. So we have a challenging task ahead of us, the most challenging any will ever have that choose to live a godly life. So we have to be as prepared as we possibly can. So this is chapter 5, where we tried to set the tone for it in the introduction to this commentary, and we just talked about chapter 4. John has just been caught up to heaven. He sees the throne, and he is blown away because he sees angels worshiping around the throne, and he sees the 24 elders seated on their thrones, and they fall down and worship God and, admit how worthy he is, because he's created everything, and it's because they're living because he's willing it. So really deep stuff. So I'm going to read chapter 5, and then I'm going to talk about some common interpretations and some not so common interpretations. So let's start with Revelation chapter 5. Here it is. Then I saw, that's John, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Wow. That's my added Mark E. Laughlin commentary. Wow. Jesus getting the glory he deserves from every creature in heaven and on earth and in the sea and all that is in them. Everything. So amazing stuff, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God. That's us, folks. From all over the world, you're worthy to take that scroll. So Jesus comes and takes this scroll from the right hand of the Father who sits on the throne. Now, I just, like I say, I think I was born to just present this. I really believe that, and I believe it's for such a time as this. I've just always been asking God that I would have the privilege of sharing this book of Revelation when the two witnesses show up and when the 70th week of Daniel starts, that he would give me the grace to be able to live to see that and to be presenting this and be faithful. And if you want to pray for me, that is the best way to pray for me, that God fulfills his purpose through me by exposing people to this amazing book of Revelation. It's the only book of the Bible that has a blessing to those who hear or who speak these words, who hear it, and who take it to heart. And that blessing's at the beginning and also at the end. So great stuff. Anyway, you can reach me at actsoftheword.com. My schedule's there, and I travel and I go and present several different books of the Bible. But just my passion in particular is the book of Revelation, to share that as much as I can. Now, there's some obvious things in chapter 5 that stick out to me as I'm doing it. One of the things is they're making a pretty big deal about this scroll. So what is it? Where did it come from? How does it look? Let me break the scroll down. This scroll, the way they made scrolls in John's day, where they were, all of the seals were on the outside. It wasn't like you broke a seal, unrolled part of it, and you had to break all seven seals. They were all on the outside of the scroll, and then you would unroll it and read the whole thing. So that's kind of what you're dealing with. If you can look at something and you see maybe somebody, you've seen a picture of a scroll, somebody's holding it. The scrolls were all sealed with several seals on the outside. So if one of them was broken, you could tell somebody tried to tamper with it. But you need to break all seven seals to open it up and look in. And so the difference here, as we'll learn next month when I do chapter 6, is we'll start getting into the sequence of things that happens as these seals are broken and how they match what Jesus said would happen in chapter 24 of Matthew and Luke and Mark and in other parts of Revelation, where the story is essentially repeated from a different camera angle. So you're going to see this consistency in that. But this scroll is interesting because if you go back to Daniel chapter 12, let me read Daniel chapter 12 for you. And the scroll is it's a book. Keep that in mind as I read this chapter. It says, at that time shall Michael arise. And he's talking about Daniel's 70th week, that last 7 years of time. The great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Jacob's trouble is what Jesus referred to it. Such has never been since there was a nation until that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Guess who that is? Most of the church will be in the dust of the earth, will have lived and died, and they will be awakened. And then, of course, Paul reminds us that, and we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds when Jesus comes, and we'll be with them forever. So, good stuff. But it says, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some of the people who are resurrected will be resurrected later. They won't be in the first resurrection, as we read. That is, the blessed and holy are part of the first resurrection. We'll read that in Revelation 2. But they will be in the second resurrection, and they'll be resurrected to everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Our ability to glorify God will be directly correlated to how we spread the knowledge of God. So pretty amazing. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, seal the scroll, until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, this is interesting because Daniel's told, hey, seal this up until, what? Daniel's 70th week. Until that time period of the end, the time of the end, that's what Daniel's 70th week is. And Daniel's told to, what, he has obviously seen some serious stuff. He's told to seal it up until the time of the end. So what was he shown? What is in there that has been sealed up for 2,500 years? What is in there? Could that be the scroll that Daniel sealed up, the information about the end times? Remember, what is contained in that scroll are the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments, the rescue of the church, the bowl judgments, the day of the Lord, everything. I mean, you know, the whole sequence of the end is really included in there. The two witnesses, the information about that, the New Jerusalem, the millennium, all of this future information is wrapped up in that scroll. Once he breaks that seal, he opens it up, and now he's reading the judgments and the drama, all of the drama from that intense time, I believe, that takes place primarily in the second half of the tribulation. So if you're looking at a chart that has that seven-year period on it and it's cut in half by the abomination of desolation, what I'm saying is that these seals are what's happening primarily before the Antichrist goes in and during. And then towards the three-quarter mark, maybe with a year left of that seven-year period, that in the day of the Lord starts and the rapture occurs, that is when the things in that scroll start happening, beginning with the day of the Lord before when the last seals are being broken, and the rapture is happening, and then the contents of the scroll, you've got it right there in chapter 8 of Revelation. It says when he opens that the sixth seal, there's silence in heaven for about half an hour. I believe that is when the scroll is being read and heads are going to roll. And then, of course, we see the judgment of God being poured out on the earth, and that happening in relatively rapid fashion. Jesus has a year of recompense where he's going to come back and take it to the enemies of everyone who trusted in him, including the nation, people of the nation of Israel that weren't really Israelites, those who tried to kill the Israelites. All of that. So those, the nations will be judged. So that I think might be some of the information, at least, that Daniel got is stuff that's in that scroll, which is why it's sealed up until the time of the end. But that's a kind of a big basic thing that it gets kind of overlooked. Some people say it's the title deed of the world. And Jesus is taking it back. I do believe that the angel in chapter 10 there of Revelation is that roars like a lion, and he has a small scroll that lays open now in his hand, his right hand. I believe that's the scroll we're talking about here. So there's a link there. And I think for the same reasons that Daniel was told to seal up his scroll, where John is told to not write what the angel yells when he yells like a lion. He roars like a lion. So there's some similarities there, and we could be talking about kind of the same thing. Who knows? But I just thought it was fascinating as I looked at scrolls that are in Bible prophecy. Those are two scrolls. They could have some of the same information. They could even be the same thing. So fascinating stuff. Hey, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 6 the next time and get into the nitty-gritty of stuff that happens as these seals are broken and what that means, the timing of them, how that matches perfectly what Jesus described to be the end in Luke and Matthew and Mark and, of course, where that is over and over again in other places of Scripture. It's just fascinating to see the consistency of Scripture talking about the same sequence of events. We can grasp a lot of information out of that. So hopefully you'll join us. You'll look for this. It'll be Revelation, a director's commentary, chapter 6, and it'll be next month sometime, hopefully. So God bless you. Continue digging and learning and seeking the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and trying to understand what he's about to do. There is so much I know that we are missing in Scripture that God has told us ahead of time. I believe Jesus says, "See, I've told you everything ahead of time." And that is a profound verse when you couple it with the verse in Isaiah that reminds us that God does nothing without showing his servants, the prophets, ahead of time. So we have a lot to find in Scripture, but let's dig those pieces out like gold, because they will be quite a testimony, allow us to share our testimony, the reason why we have such great faith in Jesus, his sovereignty, and what he's going to do, and what he's doing right now. Our confidence will grow, and because we'll understand the troublesome times we're looking at, they will be filled with hope, because we'll know, wow, He's doing it just like he said. So what great encouragement, what great peace are ours as we search in the treasures of God's word. So God be with you. Maranatha. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.